Amen. How many are ready to break new ground in your life? Good job. How many like that intro? You like that, Linton? Pretty cool intro, breaking new ground. I like that. Turn around and give Garrett a big hand. Say, Garrett, you did a good job putting that together, Pastor Gene. Today, as we talk about breaking new ground, we are continuing the series. We've spent the last 8 weeks talking about this thought of breaking new ground, which symbolizes what? That we are expanding, we are growing, that parts of our life are needing to see new things. If you want to have a expansion this year, then you got to say, God, I'm ready to break new ground in my life. I'm ready to break new ground in what you're saying. And so this morning, I know that God is wanting us to break new ground. God is wanting us to expand where we're at. And that only comes when we say, I'm ready. We've been talking about walking in this expansion and how we got to learn to walk in rest, that we can't do this thing on our own, that we can walk. It says, the Bible talks about a rest that comes to Christians, that you and I, even though we're busy, it may be one of the busiest seasons you've ever had in your life, that you can still walk in God's rest. Because when you walk in God's rest, you know everything's going to be okay. That He is taking care of you, He is sustaining you, and that you can walk, even though you're busy, you can walk in a newfound rest. We've been talking about this thing about managing our flesh over the last few weeks. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about if we step under God's authority, that then we are walking under authority, the things that God has placed under us. When I step out from under God's authority, I also step out from over the things God has placed under me. And when I step back under His authority, then I can walk in spiritual authority over the things God's placed me over. And that I have the ability to, and I must realize that sometimes in our life, we face evil spirits in our life, and we wrestle with evil spirits that are trying to destroy us, that are trying to attach themselves to us. And the Word of God makes it very clear, if you're a Christian today, and you're under God's authority, it says you must what? Rebuke the devil, and he must what? Flee. He must leave you. It didn't say he might. It didn't say if you say it loud enough. It didn't say if you preach it really good. He said no. He said if you rebuke the devil, that he must flee from you. He must leave us. So the question is this. If we have issues in our life that we are, and we stepped under God's authority, first of all, we got to make sure, am I under God's authority? And the answer to that question is yes. Then I have issues in my life that I'm rebuking, that are not leaving, then I must realize that they're not demonic spirits. That maybe the thing I'm battling the most is what? My flesh, right? It's my flesh that sometimes I've got to learn to deal with. And if we're ever going to break new ground in our life, if we're going to see God do new things in our life, if you want to see yourself go to a different level and have God expand your borders, then we've got to learn to get our flesh under subjection. So turn to your neighbor and say, we got to learn to get our flesh under subjection. Turn to your other and say, just control your flesh. Isn't that easier said than done? Today I'm going to talk to you about the thought, is your soul pregnant? Is your soul pregnant? Some of you men in here, your eyes got real big. I said your soul, okay? I didn't say your body. I said, is your soul pregnant? We're going to pick it back up where we left off last week, and I want to get a couple guys to help me. Pastor Matt, if you'll help me. Justin, give me a hand here. JD. Body. Pastor Matt, I'm sorry. Well, Justin overrules when it comes to soul. And then, sorry. JD got the spirit this morning? Yeah, all right. All right, we talked about last week how we are made up of three parts. Our body, which is our flesh. Our soul, which makes up our mind, will, and emotions. And my spirit, the spirit of the living God, which is over me, my God conscience that is inside of me. And that at salvation, when I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, my spirit is redeemed right away. By God's grace, it's transformational. Right away, I am transformed and receive God's spirit. My spirit is automatically at salvation redeemed. Someone say hallelujah for that. That's a big thing. Right away, my spirit is redeemed through God's grace. But my soul, which consists of my mind, will, and emotions, even though my spirit has been saved, my soul is in the process of being saved. He says we are transformed by what? Renewing of our mind. Scripture, all through Scripture, it talks about that you and I are being transformed into Christ's image. And it's an ongoing process. It will continue to happen. We don't arrive at this point. I'm going to always, in my soul, be being saved. I'm always growing. I'm always transforming if I'm a Christian until the time that Christ comes back for me or the time I pass this life and go to meet him in heaven. My soul is always in that transformation stage of growing, being transformed into likeness. My body, on the other hand, my flesh, it's not going to be saved until I get to heaven. And this is where the hang-up is, because we struggle with our flesh, thinking my flesh has been redeemed. If I'm a Christian, then why do I battle with my flesh? If I've been saved and I'm being transformed in my mind, why is my flesh continually to bother me? Is it bringing me down? So that's why I've got to learn that my body, my flesh, must be put under the rule of the Spirit. The only way, because my body will still do what it wants to do. My body will still crave the things it once craved before I was a Christian. And it's not going to change overnight. It's a process of subjecting it to God's Spirit. And it's not going to completely change until when? Until I make it to heaven. Amen. That was a good amen right there. I tried it again. I couldn't do it if I wanted to. Big amen. Give these guys a hand. I appreciate you guys. So let's leave these out this morning as we talk about them in reference to today's message. Is your soul pregnant? As we're learning that there's a battle going on, and I'm here today to tell you, don't stop fighting. That when a battle's going on, don't stop fighting. That's a good thing. It's a bad thing when a battle stops. It's a good thing when there's a battle going on. Let's read part of our text we read last week in Galatians 5, 16 and 17, which brings it all into fruition. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Didn't that sound good? I mean, if we could just learn to walk in the Spirit, we would save ourselves a lot of trouble, wouldn't we? This past Wednesday night, we're in the middle of a study on bringing back the Holy Spirit in our life and how to listen to his voice and be led of the Spirit. And so today, we need to learn to walk in the Spirit. And it's very important that I learn to walk in the Spirit, because if I learn to walk in God's Spirit, then I can begin to leave from walking in my flesh all the time. Even though my flesh is still present and going to be here, I'm bringing my flesh under subjection to the Spirit. And the Word of God's very clear, makes it very easy. I wish it was that easy, don't you? And this is the reason why it's not easy to walk in the Spirit, and it tells us right here. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these two are what? Contrary. They war to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So we must realize and continue to realize that there is a battle going on between my body, my flesh, and my spirit. And these two hate each other. They are the biggest rivals you'll ever find. These two things hate each other to the maximum. I mean, it's one thing. I remember in high school we had rivals. I mean, we used to do things to other rivals, football fields, and, you know, and go pick up things and drop them off in the middle of the field and do things like that. That I still have no record of today, according to the Muskogee Police Department, that I participated in any of those things. But I've heard of people who did those things. And in high school, I don't know who left that big old cow in the middle of that person's field. I really don't understand that. But we had these rivalries, and it's nothing compared to the rivalry going on inside of us. I mean, you know, I tell you, I don't hate the high school that I used to play against. After all this time, I don't hate them anymore, you know. It's not as big a deal to me as it used to be. Oh, if they're playing each other, yeah, I'll cheer them on and rah, rah, rah. But it doesn't consume me the way that it once did when I played ball. But something that will never stop is this war going on between our spirit and body. They hate each other to the max. They are going to war each other. Your spirit's trying to lead you into the path of righteousness. Your spirit's trying to lead you into what God's will is for your life. And your flesh, your body, is always going to try to do the opposite. It's always going to try to lead you into what you want to do. Your flesh is always going to try to lead you in what you think is right. And God's Spirit is always going to try to take you in a different way. And the Scripture tells us very clearly that the body wars against what? The Spirit. And the Spirit wars against the body. So we got to realize this is taking place. And so if you wonder why this conflict is going on inside you, that's a good thing. When my body stops warring with my spirit and my spirit starts warring with my body, then there's something wrong with that. That means I've given in and I've stopped letting the battle happen. So that's a good thing when battles are going on. Write this down. Just because I have wrong feelings doesn't mean I'm bad. Just because I have wrong feelings doesn't mean I'm bad. Because my flesh will always desire what it once had. If I did bad things that were not right according to God's word before I was a Christian, just because I become a Christian doesn't mean I want to stop doing those things. My body doesn't. Now, my spirit wants to change. But my flesh will still desire at times to do the things I know are wrong. My flesh will still desire at times to do things I know are contradictory to what the Spirit wants me to do. And so I've got to realize that and realize that just because I have feelings of wanting to do something I used to do doesn't mean I'm a bad person. Pastor, if you could just read my mind. I'm such a bad person. You don't even know the thoughts I have in my head. They're so evil, man. They're so bad. And we get the feeling we condemn ourselves just because we have bad thoughts. If I was really saved, I wouldn't have these thoughts in my head. If I was really a Christian, I wouldn't be tempted to do these things in my flesh that I want to do. And let me tell you, just because you're tempted, just because you have those thoughts, doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means your flesh has not been saved yet. But as a Christian, my job is to take those feelings I have and place them under subjection to the Spirit of God, which is changing my life. And that takes self-discipline. Because my selfish nature wants to do what pleases me, but my spirit man says, no, bring that up and do what pleases God. And I've got to take captive every thought. Every bad thought I have, I have to what? Put it captive to what the Spirit of God wants to do in my life. So it's an ongoing process, and it's a battle that's going on. But we have been given the power to place these feelings under captivity by the Spirit. But you've got to place them there. You've got to put them there. You've got to take control and say, I'm not going to let my flesh rule me any longer, because my flesh will lead me down a path I don't want to pay. My flesh will lead me in a relationship I don't need to be in. My flesh will lead me a place I don't want to go. But my spirit will align me with what God wants to do in my life. This is so key. See, my flesh will try to pick out who I'm with. If I'm single today, my flesh will say, God, hallelujah. Lord, I know she's the one for me. Just look at that girl. And my flesh says, revival! Hallelujah! My flesh says, ooh, she looks good. And the whole time, the Spirit's whispering in your ears, singing, that girl is poison. Come on, Enos. I know you want to break it out over there. Come on. That girl's poison. Stay away. But my eyes and flesh say, oh, but she looks good. But my spirit is saying, it's not the right timing. It's not the right one. Come on, ladies. I don't think I'm going to leave you out either. Come on. You're single right now, and you're like, I found a man, and he's got a job. Hallelujah. God, this must be the one. And it's not, I prayed, and not only does he have a job, but God gave me confirmation because he's got a job and a car. Hallelujah. And it's the first guy I've dated in a long time that I don't have to pick up. And Lord, I know this is your will. And the Holy Spirit's saying, you need to work on yourself first. You can't love anybody until you learn to love me and let me love you and you learn to love yourself. And you're like, see, my flesh will pull me one way. My flesh won't wait for God's perfect person until I'm ready. My flesh will pull me one way and do my own thing. God's Spirit's pulling me another way. My flesh will tell me, spend your money how you want to.
My flesh is spend your money on the things I selfishly want. Spend your money on the things you want. It's your money. You earned it. It's my money and I want it now. That's what my flesh says. But the Spirit says, hey, if you learn to pay your tithe and offering, God will bless it and your 90% will go a lot longer than your 100% of you on your own will ever do. And there's this war going on. Don't look at me like I'm the only one who's ever had these problems. Come on. Your flesh will say, I can hang out with these people all I want to. It's all right, Pastor Gene. I got this. I've been saved for 4 months now. I'm not the person I used to be. I've got this licked. I can go hang out with the guys and I won't do the things I used to do. And your spirit says, you're making a big mistake. You know if you hang out with them, you're going to end up a place you don't want to be. You know you hang out with them, you're going to end up doing things you don't want to do. And so there's this war going on between my flesh and my spirit, constantly battling each other. My flesh says, I'm driving. Have you ever had your teenager get their license and you walk out, they just got their license and they walk out and they get in your driver's seat of your car? And they act like they own the car. And you're like, what are you doing? I'm driving. Well, last I checked, I bought this car. Last I checked, I paid this insurance. Until you get a job and get you a car and you pay your own insurance, this car is mine. Just don't automatically think you're going to get in and just drive my car. Now, I know they got to drive and learn to drive somewhere. That's not what I'm talking about. But it's just something that goes on. You're like, scoot over out of the driver's seat. And we got to let them learn. I know all that. And I'm just using that illustration to say this, that in our life, we want to drive, don't we? We're like, I'm ready to drive. I've got this, God. I've got this, God. I am in control. I've got my body under control, God. I've got this. Just chill, God. And the Spirit's saying to me, get out of the driver's seat and let God drive. He's going to get you there a lot smoother, a lot faster. He's going to save you a lot of heartache if you'll just let him drive. If you let him drive, you won't get lost. If you let him drive, he'll miss the speed bumps. If you let him drive, you can miss the potholes. Just let him drive. And I'm like, no, I want to drive. There's this battle going on. We got to give it up and let our flesh get under subjection to what God wants to do in our life. Last week we talked about learning to live our life. Scripture says, live your life, what? Worthy of your calling, our calling. Do you realize I'm not the only one called in this building? If you're a Christian today, you are called of God. We're all called of God. I'm not called to be a pastor. I'm not called to be a worship pastor or youth pastor. I'm not called to lead worship. I'm not called to do this. I'm not called to be a missionary and go to Africa. I'm not called, pastor, to do that. Well, can you imagine the horrific scene if all the Christians were called to be pastors? We'd have a church full of pastors and nobody out at your job doing what needs to be done. Nobody bringing the gospel to your job. No one bringing the gospel to your workplace. No one bringing the gospel. No one being a light, a beacon of hope in your school. No one being a light, a beacon of hope in your factory, in your business. God has called you to be where you're at today. And God has called you. And my calling is no greater than your calling. Our callings are equal that God has called every one of us. And he says, live it according. Put your flesh under subjection to the Spirit and live according to your calling. So many people think, man, I just have fallen in love, you know, on a spiritual sense with our pastors, man. I wish my husband could be more like Pastor Gene. He's just such a man of integrity, and he's so spiritually mature. I wish my husband could just speak the word like Pastor Matt does, man. He just communicates the gospel. He's got such a passion for it. I wish my wife could just come home and sing to me with anointing Pastor Mel does on the stage. Hallelujah. And we see you guys fall in love with what you see, the anointing that's on our life. You'll fall in love with leaders and pastors God puts in you, and it's the anointing we're walking in. But when you leave here, you see me as an anointing up here. But you know what I do when you leave here? I'm like this. God, help me. God, I'm so wore out. God, these people wear me out sometimes. God, I am tired. Honey, help me get home. My kids, they carry me to the car like this. Pull my shoes off. I can't walk, please. I get home and I don't talk to them. I just want to veg out. Leave me alone. The anointing's drained it all from me today. Hallelujah. Some of you think we get up in the morning. Pastor Jim gets up in the morning and says, kids, it's time to get up. How many is ready to break new ground today in your life? If you're ready to break new ground, press it, stand on your feet, out of your bed, arise and walk, my son. Landon, today, God is calling you. You're going to excel in math and English. Everywhere you go on that campus shall be yours. And on the way to school, their mama busted them out. Let's sing your presence is heaven to me right here in the car. Hallelujah. Oh, we struggle with our flesh just like you do. I struggle. Get out of bed. You're late. You're sleeping out. Come on. Now get. I told you, get that room cleaned up. You go. Come on, get up. You're always running this leg. You're always the last one to the car. I hate signing homework at the last minute. What did we do this last night? I'm losing my cool. I'm losing my patience. And me and Pastor Mel are always so nice to each other at home. It's really, we never have any problems at all. No, we learn and are continually learning to put our flesh under subjection to the Spirit just like you. All of us are called to do that. There's no super Christians here. What you find is people who over time have matured and have learning self-discipline of saying, all right, this thing is not an evil spirit that I've got to rebuke. This thing is just my flesh that's become weak, my flesh that's become selfish, and I've got to learn to put what my flesh wants under what God wants to do in my life. My flesh wants to act out, but I say, nope, I'm checked in my spirit. The Holy Spirit's saying something different, and I go, no, the Holy Spirit's done something better for me. My flesh acts out, and I say, ooh, I just blew it there. I've got to change some things in my life. Is this good today? Are you getting anything out of this? All right, making sure. See, we try to justify our flesh, don't we? We try to justify our flesh. We all do this. I've done this. God, I'm doing so much better right here. God, on this area, I'm doing really, really good. And on this area, oh, I've shown so much improvement. And in this area, I'm doing so much better than I was last year. And so since I'm doing so good in these areas, you don't mind this area being bad. You don't mind the flesh ruining this area because I've done really good these other three areas. So I'm always going to have one area. It's all right, God. It's all right. And we justify it by saying, you know what? I've done so much better in other areas that this doesn't make a difference. God don't care about that in my life. And it reminds me of the story of the prodigal son, something that the Spirit revealed to me this week as I was studying. You remember the prodigal son who grabbed the inheritance early from his father and said, Dad, I'm ready for it now. I want to just give me it's my money, and I want it now. As we just said, that's what he said. Dad, it's my money, and I want it now. So he got his early inheritance and says he went out and went and lived a prodigal life. He partied it up. He had women. He had drugs. Man, he had everything he could do, party lifestyle. And he blew all of his money on the fast and famous and the rich and famous. And says they blew all of his money and all of his friends left him. And then a famine hit the land. And there was no food, no work to be found. And so he had a bright idea. I'll go work for this pig farmer and tell him, if you'll let me feed your pigs, I can you at least for my pay eat with your pigs. And how many has ever fed pigs here? Have you ever fed pigs here? Raise your hand if you ever fed any pigs. Okay. Don't look at your husband and say, I feed you every day. Come on now. Some of you. If you ever fed pigs, you know the slop that the pigs eat. That's about as disgusting on the food chain as you can get. I mean, just feeding the pigs can make you sick if you really smell it and look at it. I mean, it's the most rottenest food you can find, and we feed it to these pigs that we fry up for bacon. Any bacon lovers? All right, here we go. All right.
But the thing about it is, this is what really struck me. It says that the prodigal son was eating this junk, and never once did it say it made him sick. It says that finally he came to his senses and like, you know, I could probably eat better if I just go home to my dad and ask him to be a servant. I could probably at least live better than this. But never once did it say that he got sick from eating with the pigs, what they ate. And this is what the Spirit says. It says, this is what's wrong with you and I many times in our life, is that we don't allow sin to bother us anymore. And I'm not talking about your past, because the past is under the blood of Jesus. Our past has been forgiven, wiped away, never be brought up again, and we are set free from condemnation of our past. That's not what I'm talking about bothering you. What I'm talking about is in our life, every day, when we do things that are sin in our life, and it stops bothering you, there's something wrong. If it doesn't affect you anymore, there's something wrong. If sin in our life doesn't bother us anymore, then something is wrong with us. We've allowed our flesh to rule, and we become callous to what the Spirit wants to do. See, there should be a battle. When I mess up, and I'm going to mess up, and you're going to mess up, when I mess up, there should be a conflict of saying, man, I hate that. I hate that I wasn't true to what the Spirit wanted me to do. I hate that I failed and I said I wouldn't. I should hate that thing in my life. And I should be saying, you know what? I want to learn how to bring that thing under subjection to God's Spirit in my life. Look what James says in James 1:18, verses 19 and also verses 21. But of his own will, he brought us, you and I, forth by the what? The word of truth. If you're here today, let me tell you this, you are no accident. You may think you were an accident. You may think you wasn't planned. You may think you were the result of something tragic that happened in your life. But let me say this to you. God's word says that you and I are the result. Before your parents ever thought about you, before you were ever called a mistake, before you were ever called an accident, God knew you. It says out of you, out of his word, he brought us forth. Out of his, everybody say, out of his word, he brought us forth. That's powerful. He brought me forth that I might be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce what? Righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness. Look what it says here, the implanted word, which is able to save what? Our souls. The implanted word is able to save our souls. So what this happens is this, that God's word wants to be implanted in you. He wants to impregnate in you what? The word that what? He can implant into what? And save your soul. See, it backs up what we're talking about. If I'm a Christian, why would my soul need to be saved if I'm already Christian? Because my soul is continually being saved. And it's the spoken word of God, it's the word of God that gets implanted in my heart and in my soul that brings that change in my life. Listen, God will always impregnate me first, then give me the baby later. God will always impregnate me first and then give me the baby later. Isn't that so true? Just as the male seed must attach itself to a woman's ovaries to give birth, to be pregnated, we've got to allow the spoken word of God to come into our heart and impregnate us. We got to allow the spoken word of God to come and attach itself to my soul and be implanted in me, and my soul become pregnant, because God will always impregnate me first before I ever see the baby. He will tell me I'm healed before I ever see the healing. He will tell me I'm healed before I ever see the healing. We remember this very well, don't we, Jana? Sitting on you next to you in your bed when you got the news that your stomach was ate up with cancer, cobweb all through it. And I sat down and looked at you and said, God's got this and you got this. It's going to be okay. And we stood on that word. Was it tough in between? Yes.
But it was not until several months later that the doctor reopened her up and said, girl, you don't have any cancer inside you. But that didn't happen right away. She received the word first, and she saw the healing later. See, God will tell me, I'm going to bring you out of debt. You're going to change some things in your life. I want you to begin to tithe. I want you to begin to give. And I've got a plan, and I'm going to bring you out of debt. And you receive that word in your life long before you ever get out of debt. God will tell you while you're separated and say this, I want to restore your marriage. I want to heal your marriage, and he'll implant you with that word long before you're ever reconciled with your spouse. But see, our problem is we want to hold the baby without going through the pregnancy. I know that's good. Thank you for the pastor section over here. We want to hold the baby without going through the pregnancy. We don't want to experience the birthing pains. We don't want to experience the stretch marks. And I can understand why. We don't want to understand the morning sickness, and we don't want to have to understand nothing fitting you no more. We don't want to understand these things that happen. We don't want to have to understand the birthing pains that go along with giving birth. But God will always implant the word, impregnate our soul with the word, and then bring the baby later. That's a good thing to know. Because many of us give up way too easy on the word that God's trying to plant in our heart and try to implant in us with. So how do we get pregnant? By the word that sticks to your spirit. It's as I'm talking about the seed sticking to the ovary to impregnate a woman. So does the word of God come to our spirit and stick. What's so exciting is tonight throughout the four-state area, we're going to have several life groups that are meeting in homes. And they're going to be discussing today's message. And people are going to be sharing what God has spoken until today. And I could go to every one of the life groups and hear a different word spoken by every person. Because the Holy Spirit, when we speak a word like we're doing today, the Holy Spirit will speak something very personal to you if you allow it to. And one person will share this, and somebody else will share something totally different, and somebody else will share something totally different. And even though they may all be related, they're different personal things that are being spoken. Any life group leaders can identify what I'm talking about. Yes, we know this is going to be happening all night tonight. What's happening is the word of God is being planted in us and in our soul and spirit. He's trying to impregnate you with something that he's wanting to bring out of you and me. He's wanting to impregnate our soul so that he can bring forth a fruit in our life. Hebrews 1:3 says it like this. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding, everybody say upholding. Come on, when you do it, hold your hand up. Say upholding all things by what? The word of his power. God's word, he has the power. Whatever God started by his word, he has the power to uphold it. Isn't that cool? Whatever God starts in your life, he has the power to uphold it. And let me prove it to you real fast. That God won't start what he won't complete. God won't start what he won't complete. Look at Genesis 1:3. One, I love that scripture. This is one of the first verses we see in the Bible. The third verse in the Bible talks about the creation. And on the first day it says, God said, let there be light. And there was light. Boom. It's there. All right. God said, let there be light. And there was light. That's cool. How many know that God gives out light? That God is the source of light? No, Pastor, that's not true. The sun is actually the one that gives out light during the day, and the moon gives out light during the night. I know God created them, but technically, they're the ones that are giving out the light. Okay, God said on day one, let there be light, and boom, there was light. But look what verse 16 says happened on day four. But on day four, God made two great lights. The greater light, the sun, to rule by day. And the lesser night to rule what? The moon by night. So there was light long before there was ever a sun and the moon. God created the sun and the moon to participate what his word had already spoken into existence. So look out that door today. Look out that window today. What do you see coming through there? So the very first words that God speaks over this earth was, let there be light. And as I look out there today, His promise is still upholding the power of His word. That should get you and I excited, because that should prove to you that no matter how the length of time has happened since God spoke a word to you, that the power of His word shall sustain, that He has the power to lift up, sustain His word. If God spoke something to your spirit, then it's still on. Come on, magicians, join me up here. Let me say that again. If God spoke something to your spirit, then it's still on. If God is planted the word of God in your heart, wanting to come alive, then it's still on. Stand on your feet this morning. Come on. Turn to three people and say, it's still on. It's still on. How many know it's still on in this house today? God has still got it on. That's the exciting thing about putting our flesh under subjection to what God wants to do through His Spirit in our life. That when we do that, God speaks a word and plants it and impregnates our soul, that He can bring forth something great in our life. But it's all about getting that flesh under subjection to what the Spirit wants to do. Today, I'm just going to ask you, how many today say, Pastor, I'm ready for God to implant something in my spirit, my soul? Are you ready for God to implant something in your spirit, your soul? I want change in my life. I'm ready. Some of you here, you've had that word implanted before, but you gave up on it because you didn't hold that baby after 3 months. You didn't hold that baby after 2 weeks. And you gave up on that implanted word. And I'm here to tell you today, that's still on. God's still got a plan for you, and God will still bring that word out of your life. Well, I've counted the days, and this should have already happened by now. How many know one day is like 1,000 with the Lord? There is no timetable to God's timing. And we got to quit putting God on our timetable and realize that when He impregnates us, He will bring it to birth in our life. If you're ready for God to implant something new in your life, I want you to join me at the front this morning as we close out the service. As you step to the front, we're going to close this song. And by stepping out of your seat, you're saying, God, I'm coming into agreement with this word that's being spoken over my life today. I'm stepping out of my seat and saying, God, I'm ready to come into agreement with what the word I'm hearing in my ears this morning. Scoot in close, guys. Make room for those coming in. As we sing this song, it simply says, I call your name. I want you to call upon the Lord today. Say, God, I am calling upon you, God. Lord, I'm going to allow that word to come and plant it in my life. I'm not going to allow the enemy to come and abort the word you're speaking over my life. I'm not going to allow the enemy to come and abort the word you've spoken over my marriage. I'm not going to allow the enemy to come and abort the word you've spoken over my finances, over my ministry, over my dream. I'm not going to allow the enemy to come in and take away the thing that you promised me. God, I'm not going to allow the enemy to come away and take away the dream of that you're going to send the right spouse to me. God, I believe. Come on, let's call upon the name of the Lord. Spread out this morning. Make room for those coming in.
Lord, you reply, you bring your by my side, giver of life, all that I need. Father, you're everything that's precious to me. There is no one like you, Lord, in all the earth.
Oh, 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 worthy, Lord, your deserving.
Of all I am,
of all I am,
I lay me down,
I lay me down.
Lord, I need you,
Lord, I need you.
Oh, oh,
and I call your name, Lord, you reply. You bring your kingdom to stand by my side, giver of life. All that I need, Father, you're everything that's precious to me.
Oh, I call your name.
I call your name.
Oh, Lord,
you reply. You bring your kingdom to stand by my side, giver of life. All that I need, Father, you're to me, there is no one like you, Lord, in all the earth.
Oh, there's no one, no one,
hey, like you, Lord, in all the earth.
Come on, lift your hands and begin to give God praise. Because there's nobody like you, Lord, in all the earth, God. And we lift your name this morning, God. Because if you've spoken, it will come to pass. Oh, we want you to help us sing it. Say, there's no one like you, Lord. Say,
there's no one like you. There's no one like you, Lord. There's no one like you in all the earth. There's no one like you. There's no one like you, Lord. There's no one like you in all the earth.
Oh, there's no one.
There's no one like
nobody
you.
Nobody like you,
there's
Lord.
No one like
nobody
you,
nobody like you, Lord.
There's no one like yeah. you in all the earth.
Oh,
there's no one like
oh,
you.
Oh, I search and
Lord. There's no one like you.
There is no one like you, Lord. Help us sing it. There is no one like you, Lord.
There is no one like you, Lord.
From the depths of your heart, declare it.
There is no one like you, Lord.
Nobody like the Lord.
There is no one like you, Lord.
Nobody like the Lord.
There is no one like you, Lord.
There's nobody like you, Lord.
There is no one
we worship
one
you,
like
Jesus.
You, Lord.
There's nobody like you, Lord.
There is no one like
oh,
you, Lord.
I call your name.
I call your name.
Lord, you reply.
Lord, you reply.
Oh, will you bring your kingdom?
Hold and stand by my side, giver of life, all that I need. Father, you're everything that's precious to me. There is no one like you, Lord. There is no one like you, Lord.
Lift your hands one more time this morning. Father, I pray right now for every person here that God, the spoken word of your Spirit will come implanted into our soul. That God, you allow the spoken word to take root in our life. Impregnate us with a dream, God. Impregnate us, God, with the things you're wanting to do in our life. God, we say yes to you. We say yes to your Spirit. And Father, I thank you that the word you've spoken to us is still on. I thank you that the word you've spoken shall sustain. It's still on in my life. And I say yes, yes to your will. Yes to your voice. Yes to your Spirit. Father, we praise you together. Now, put your hands together and say, God, I agree with that word spoken over my life today. Amen. Today, God bless you as you leave today. Don't forget to sign up for the teacher outreach. And also, we'll see you tonight in a life group. God bless you. Have a great day.